the Kivayim has a suffix. The person in the middle of lighting his Chanukah, he forgot to recite the brachas. So he lit the first candle, and all of a sudden he realizes the fourth night of Chanukah. Okay, no problem. Even though I didn't make the bracha before lit, let me recite the bracha now, because I'm about to light the next three candles. Is that acceptable or not? So the Kivayim begins by saying, well, it depends which bracha we're talking about. If we're talking about the bracha of Sh'as and Nisim, that's for sure okay. Because Sh'as and Nisim, you know that Chazal instituted, you can even recite if you didn't light any candles, as long as you see somebody else's candles. As long as you're not lighting yourself, you're not putting any lighting, and no one's lighting for you, so then one can recite the bracha Sh'as and Nisim just on the fact that there are candles in existence. So if a person lit the first candle and forgot to recite the bracha, so we could say Sh'as and Nisim, it's slow go, it's not any worse than somebody else's candles. So the question the Kavega raises is, can the person recite L'Havdik Me'ezro Chanukah? So on the one hand, the person was already yet to the mitzvah. On the other hand, the person didn't complete the mitzvah. He still got a few more candles to light. So he can't even recite the bracha, L'Havdik Me'ezro Chanukah, even though you already lit one of the candles. So before we analyze the main part of the question, which is really, in a sense, that's a continuation of yesterday's shiur, in terms of the role of Hidur mitzvah vis-a-vis the regular mitzvah, there may be several technical reasons why the person may be able to recite the bracha, even though he read it with the candle. Even though the Gemara tells us in several places that kol mitzvahs mevarach alein over l'asiyasan, you always have to recite a bracha before you perform a mitzvah. The reason machlokes of Rishonim is that l'chatchila, is that even b'diavad. So the Rambam Shita is that that's even b'diavad. Once a person did a mitzvah, if he forgot to recite the bracha, tough, he can't recite the bracha anymore. So according to the Rambam, a person already finished reading the Megillah, so all of a sudden he realizes, well, I forgot to make the bracha. I said, finished, no, we're done. He can't recite the bracha afterwards. Person heard the shofar, person did whatever the mitzvah is. Once the mitzvah is over, so that b'diavad, you can't recite the bracha anymore. And other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, or the Ruah, and Hazal Sashri, and a few several other Rishonim say, no, that the klal of kol mitzvahs mevarach alein ol asiyasan is only the chetchila. The chomo mesachet, you have to have the bracha and then the mitzvah, but the diavad, if you did it the other way around, would be acceptable. If you forgot to recite the bracha, the diavad, you can recite the bracha afterwards. So the Ruah brings a raya from the fact that the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that when a ger is tovel in the mikvah, so he first is tovel and then he recites the bracha afterwards. Why? Because he can't say the bracha before. It's not Jewish yet. So the Gemara, the truth is the Gemara is only speaking about a ger, and many Rishonim say it's in fact only speaking about a ger. And other Rishonim say, since they're misaching that a ger recites the bracha after the tefillah, so too when a woman goes to the mikvah, the tefillah is needed. So there's no real reason for her to recite the bracha afterwards. As a low plug, they wanted to keep the uniformity in terms of what was bracha. That's what the Ashkenazi custom is. So that practice is that women, when they go to the mikvah, they first the tovos, and then afterwards they recite a bracha. We have a minhag, it's a very hard minhag to understand conceptually, halachically. We have a minhag that when a woman goes to the mikvah, so she's tovel first, then she comes out, she recites the bracha, then she's tovel a second time. They tovel a second time before. So again, a little bit of all less yasin. So the folks can say, it doesn't make any sense. When she comes out of the mikvah the first time, she's tovel already. So she's making a bracha going through, you know, it doesn't mean anything. The second tefillah is meaningless. So that's the way it is. Whatever it is, a kashal mice, that's the way, that's what the minhag is. So again, going back to the case of tefillah's ger, the tefillah's ger for sure, you tovel first, you do the mitzvah first, and then you recite the bracha, because there's no way to do it. Otherwise, the person's not Jewish yet. To come to your Zeru and a group of Rishonim and say, if Chazal permitted you to flip the order, even b'shas achach, even in a way where there's no way to do it otherwise, so you see from here that the whole din is on the chetchila. If the din would have been really the diyev, and really meikah meikah a din, then a bracha must precede a mitzvah. There's no way in the world to ever make a bracha after you finish the mitzvah. So then even if it's a b'diyev, if it's a shas achach, there's no other way. So tough, so don't make a bracha. How can Chazal sanction the making of a bracha for a year afterwards, if the making of the bracha afterwards is a bracha levatolah? So says the Yozaru, you see from here that the whole Seder Advarim of reciting the bracha before doing the mitzvah is only the chetchil, it's not ma'akim. And therefore, in the situation of tefillah's ger, it's impossible, so then we're permitted to switch the order. So how would the Rambam respond to that? The Shach writes that he doesn't understand what the kashya is, and doesn't write in the first place. He said, kach tikta b'chomni. The chacham b'sakeh, that in a situation where it's impossible, so they themselves, heimam v'imamru, they were the ones who instituted brachas and mitzvahs. They were the ones who said, you have to recite the bracha before the mitzvah. They were the ones who said, if it's impossible, then you recite the bracha afterwards. But here it's not impossible. Here I just goofed. Here I personally blew the shofar and forgot to make the bracha. So I can make the bracha to it. Maybe even b'diavad, I have to make the bracha before the mitzvah. So I call part of machlekes Ram and the other rule. So going back to the Kineges Kasha, his shaila, a person lit the first candle and then he realizes he didn't recite the bracha, so she also needs it for sure to recite. What about Mahamlik? It depends. According to the Arzarua, you can still recite Mahamlik. Even if you lit all four candles, you can still recite Mahamlik. Whereas according to the Rambam, we still have to ask the question, have you finished the mitzvah yet? If you hold that the subsequent candles is still part of the mitzvah, then even according to the Rambam, we can sanction reciting a bracha at that point. If you hold that the mitzvah is over, there is your basis. Once you finish the first candle, then it's over. Even to the Eved, you wouldn't be able to light the candle. So yes, so the whole shahada we have is only a libidah Rambam. Maybe one could suggest that there's another reason why one could still recite the bracha, even in the more radical case, where the person lit all four candles already. He remembers the mouth, he just lit all four candles, he started to see more sword, he said, wait a second, I forgot to the bracha. So maybe one can permit the reciting of the bracha at that point, even according to the Rambam, for a different reason. Not because b'diavad you can make the bracha. The Rambam's b'diavad you can't make the bracha. But maybe the mitzvah there is chanuk as such that it would permit the recitation of a bracha even after that locha. What is that based on? So the Rambam Yochas Brachas writes that there are a few exceptions to this rule of kol mitzvos mevarach lehem ochlasi yosof. Even though it's an absolute, under normal circumstances, you must recite the bracha before the mitzvah. And if you did the mitzvah and it's over, you can't recite the bracha anymore. But the Rambam draws a distinction between mitzvahs that are performed in one split second, in contrast to what's called the mitzvah b'mshachas, a mitzvah that takes time, it takes a while, it's still a kiva mitzvah going for a long time. So says the Rambam, let's say for a marshal, the mitzvah achilas matzah, once you swallow the kezayis matzah, it's over, finished, mitzvah's done. Hide the matzah still in your stomach, it's digested, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the achilas matzah. So once you ate the matzah, you forgot to make a bracha, so finished, you can't make a bracha anymore. But, says the Rambam, what if you put on tzitzis? Or what if you put on tefillin? What if you're sitting in the sukkah and you started doing the mitzvah without a bracha? An hour later you realize you didn't make a bracha on your tzitzis. An hour later you realize you didn't make a bracha on your tefillin. An hour later you realize you didn't make a bracha on sukkah. So says the Rambam, if you're still wearing your tzitzis, still wearing your tefillin, still sitting in the sukkah, you can make a bracha at that point. Why? That's what's called the mitzvah hamshachas. It's a mitzvah that begins as a kickoff to the mitzvah. You walk into the sukkah, I'm still sitting in the sukkah. I put on my tzitzis, I'm still wearing the tzitzis. I tied my tefillin, I'm still on my tefillin on. Anytime you have a mitzvah of shachas, a mitzvah of shachas could permit you to recite a bracha, but you have it closed by the mitzvah still taking place. So one can raise the question, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Neir Chanukah? The Neir Chanukah, a one moment deal. Neir Chanukah is a mitzvah that, you know, once you do it, it's over. Or do we say no? Since the din is, the neighbors have to last. So this is the din that has to last. Or a half hour, the Rambam puts it onto the clock. Since the din is that the candles have to last for a while, maybe as long as the candles are burning, that's considered to be a mitzvah nimshachas. So the person blitzed on the menorah, they forgot to recite a bracha, then 10 minutes later they have to be sing mosur, they realize, oh my goodness, I forgot to make the brachas. Maybe you can make a bracha and say the person is still wearing his tefillah, the person is still wearing his tzitzis, the person is still sitting in the sukkah. Maybe that's the status of a mitzvah nimshachas. So if that would be true, then even not in the case of Rabbi Kivega, Rabbi Kivega was talking about a case where the person remembers between candle 1 and candle 2. Maybe if he remembers even after candle 4, he lit all the candles, he could still recite the bracha. So here the poskim say this is probably not correct. And there's Chanukah is probably not in the set of Shachas for the following reason. There is a machlekes haberoim in Masech Shabbos. Now if a person lights the menorah and then it goes out right away. Why did he go out? He didn't realize that somebody came by and knocked over the menorah. So he lit it in a way that it could have lasted. There was enough oil to last. But something happened. Something just happened. The menorah went out. Is he obligated to relight the menorah now? So one opinion, the Gemara says, keeps us up and close. That if the candles go out by themselves, you have to relight it. If you don't relight it, you're not yet to the mitzvah. And the other day says, no, keeps the ein zoch and klal. But there's no need to relight the menorah. If you want to relight, it's a nice thing to do, but you have mechuyav to. One is not obligated to relight the menorah. Because kipsa ain't zohar law. So the chora that machlekes amaroyim where the kipsa zohar law kipsa ain't zohar law is gufer at question. His name is Chanukah mitzvah nimshaches, or his name is Chanukah one shot deal. If you hold that it's an ongoing kiyum, the whole zman, as long as the candles are lit, that's the continuation of the mitzvah. Does that make sense? The kipsa zohar law. If I just put on the lit the candle for a second, so I didn't complete the mitzvah. That's like the guy goes into the sukkah, he takes a one bite out of the sukkah, and he walks out of the sukkah. So he's losing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a mitzvah in shachar. He's got to keep the mitzvah going for the entire shiur, the entire zman. But if you hold that kipsa aims of a klav, does that mean it's a mitzvah? That's it. You do that lacha. What happens after that lacha doesn't matter. So if you hold that kitzah zoruk law, then it would make sense. You could still recite a bracha. The mitzvah still nimshachas. But if you hold the kitzah ein zoruk law, so the mitzvah's over. Finished. It's over. That's what's happened. How do we pass it? So we pass in the feirish. The kitzah ein zoruk law. We pass in that as long as candles could have burned. If you set up your candles in a place where they couldn't burn, or there's not enough oil, that's not even kitzah ein zoruk law. That's mamash nothing. But if you set up your candles in a place where they could burn, and then somebody walks over and knocks over by mistake, so we pass in the ikra, then you don't really have to relight. If you want it, that's nice, but you don't really have to relight them. So the way we pass kids, it's very hard to then turn around and say that Eretz Chanukah is a mitzvah nimshachas. Probably is only a one-time thing. So if that's the case, and if the person remembers after lighting all the candles, it's hard to sanction reciting another bracha. Well, that's always the other rule. The only thing else, you can always make a bracha after the mitzvah. Then okay, if the diavad, even if you remember after lighting all the candles, but we don't really follow that. Most of the posts can say we follow the Rambam, so we don't recite brachas even the diavad after the fact, after the mitzvah is over. So the question is a person lit one candle, hasn't lit the subsequent candles, is that called the mitzvah over now? So this is really a continuation we spoke about yesterday. This is a question of the relationship between Hidu Mitzvah and compared to the original Mitzvah. So we know the Gemara tells us in Neri Shabeso that the Ika Mitzvah Neri Chanukah is one candle per household per night of Chanukah. The fact that we go ahead and we light more candles every night, that's what the Gemara calls the Mahadrin, and the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin. That's already a higher level. That's already B'toras Hidu Mitzvah. But the Ika Mitzvah one performs in Neri Shabeso. So now we have to raise the following question. Can a person recite a bracha on Hidu Mitzvah? I did the mitzvah already. So do we say, well, the bracha is instituted on the Ikra Mitzvah, the bracha is not instituted on the Hidu Mitzvah. So once I did the Ikra Mitzvah, once I finished the Neri Shabeso, according to the Rambam, done. I can't make the bracha anymore. There's no mitzvah in Mshaches, and I can't make a bracha v'diyavad after the mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's done, finished. If I goofed and I lit the first candle before I made the bracha, there's nothing I can do to rectify that according to the Rambam. Or do I say no? So I say that Kozman, the person hasn't finished the Hidu Mitzvah, he still hasn't really completed the Mitzvah itself, and that's still considered to be doing the Mitzvah for the purposes of his brachas. So the Chorus, this question really is a throwback to what we spoke about yesterday. What's the relationship between Hidu Mitzvah and the Ikra Mitzvah? Do we say there's a certain standard for mitzvahs, and once you meet that standard, it's over, finished? Whether a person lit one candle, whether a person lights eight candles, he's yelled to the basic din of Neris Chanukah. He's yelled to the basic mitzvah. Now there's a halach of Hidu Mitzvah. So the Mahadrim, those are external kiyumim. Those are additional kiyumim. That's saying that in addition to the mitzvah Neris Chanukah, I'm also being yelled to the concept of Hidu Mitzvah. It's not upon the mitzvah that can be veil. That's external, that's separate and distinct from the mitzvah of Nechanik itself. If that's the case, as we suggested a possibility yesterday, it would be very hard to turn around and make a bracha now. Hashem can do shalom, mitzvah, yisim, simonu, mahadik nesho chanukah, mitzvah, mahadik nesho chanukah. You had said the mitzvah already. You're lighting 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 8 candles. So what do you make a bracha? Hashem can do shalom, mitzvah, mahadik, so there's no such bracha. Because now I'm a second bracha, it's an ikka mitzvah. So if you're going to tell me that Hidu Mitzvah is separate and distinct, I was Yaitse Nechanukah. You know, my Nechanukah is as perfect as the next guy. I lit one candle, you lit eight candles. My Nechanukah is the exact same as your Nechanukah. Elohat, the person who lights eight candles has an additional mitzvah. It's a tangential mitzvah, an external mitzvah. It's not called Nechanukah. It's called Mahat. It's called Hidu Mitzvah. But you can't make a bracha on that. Well, do you say no? You say that when a person lights one candle, a person lights eight candles, those are two different chamos from Nechanukah. One is the Nechanukah Bihidura, and one is the Nechanukah Shalom Bihidura. So what's the nature of Hidu Mitzvah? Is Hidu Mitzvah part of the Mitzvah proper? Is it something which is internally part of the Mitzvah? Then, or you would be able to recite a bracha. Well, do you say no? The Nechanukah is external. I'm sorry, Mahadrin is external to the Mitzvah. It's a general halacha, it's a din klali, not a localized din klali, and therefore a bracha would be inappropriate at that point. So this shayla is not just a shayla for the one guy who forgot and remembers in between candle one and candle two. This is a shayla that each and every one of us has, every single night of Chanukah. The chord is the same shayla as to the machlekes apolskim, when is the correct time to recite Haneris Halohu. The Masechet Sofrim tells us that when you light near Chanukah, you're supposed to say Haneris Halohu. So the age old practice of saying Haneris Halohu. When exactly do you say Haneris Halohu? So there are two different customs as to when is the precise time to recite it. So there are some who recite Haneris Halohu as they're lighting the subsequent candles. They have to make their brachas, and they light one candle, then they start to say Haneris Halohu. Why? That's what the Lashon tells. There's Nachta Madlikim. It's Lashon Hoveh. We are lighting. So we are lighting these. In the process of lighting it, we should be saying Haneris Halohu. That's what some say. another Rechvarim might know that that's not appropriate to say Neres Lolo at that point, because that's going to serve as a hefsek to the Bracha and the subsequent candles. Because here Neres Lolo is not really Ma'akev, so if you're not supposed to be Ma'afsik, you're not supposed to speak between the Bracha and the fulfillment of the Mitzvah. So some Rechvarim say, until you finish the Mitzvah, don't say Neres Lolo, don't say anything. So you should make the Brachas, light the first candle, second, and up to the all eight candles. When you're done with everything, Hakol Mikol, Neres Lolo Nachtu Madlikim. I, the Lashon Hove, the Lashon is Nachtu Madlikim. No. TikTok. Madlik means we're lighting, we lit, we all lit. It's not Chris Aturin, it's not a Ba'a and a Ba'a, this is a Chris of Megillah, this is there's a lot of Madlikim. Madlikim is a very, very soft kosher. So the Chora, what would the first group of posts can say? Those who have the custom of saying, and there's a little after lighting the first candle, so they would say it's not a kasha, because the bracha doesn't relate to the subsequent candles. The bracha doesn't have Chanukah, so that was, yeah, it's in the Chanukah already. So it shouldn't be a problem. So Chora, that Shiloh, whether we're concerned with the Hefsek vis-a-vis the other candles, seems to be a throwback to this question. Namely, is the Bracha only on the first candle, or the Ikar Mitzvah is on the Bracha on all the candles? If the Bracha is only on the first candle, then you can say there's a lot, no problem, if you lit the first candle. If the Bracha has been called all the candles, then one can argue maybe it would be a problem.
What the different source would be if you had one candle and then made a bracha, and then you got more candles, you would have to make another.
Oh, the chanami, right. Maybe the chanami, right. The chanami. So the raya for Neres Lolo is not an ironclad raya. There may be another reason to justify the recitation of Neres Lolo while a person is actually doing the lighting. Maybe one could argue it's not considered to be a hefsek because it's me'inyan le'inyan. It's part, it's related to the mitzvah. Not only is it related to the mitzvah, but in a certain sense it enhances the mitzvah. When you talk about a mitzvah in a way that goof enhances the mitzvah, then maybe that's considered to be part of the mitzvah proper. Especially when you're dealing with a mitzvah such as for Simen Nisa, since the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to be refined in what you're doing, to our neighbor, Salal and Achtam Adlikim, we're announcing what great appearance of mitzvah to announce. And here we are, we're lighting the candles for the following reason. So maybe one can argue that the whole question doesn't get off the ground. But those who say Neres Lolo while they're lighting the candles is not a problem for two reasons. Number one, maybe the bracha only is misyaches, that the bracha only relates to the first candle. And even if you want to argue that the bracha relates to everything, the Neres Lolo Nachmadlikim is part of the mitzvah itself. Why is it? If you say Neres Lolo, so among the things, most mitzvahs that we do, we don't make an announcement that we're doing the mitzvah. That we're going to the sukkah, so we don't make Hasukah Zushanu Yoshua. Don't think we're sitting in it for another reason. Neres Lolo, and we make a point of reference of the halacha, the Neres Lolo Kodeshem Ve'Imar Rishus Tishamish Ve'am. So that mud the tefillah that we have in the right back in the middle of Halacha Neres. And this is not a new tefillah. This goes back to the Tanoim Institute. This goes back to the Sofrim. This goes back to the very beginning. Maybe the Chashmonaim Institute. There's a phrase of Neres Lolo. So what's the purpose of saying Neres Lolo? And why is it that it's not considered to be a hefsek to flow? So maybe it's based on the following. The Gemara says that if a person lights the menorah and he's holding in his hand. So I'll hold you the menorah in my hand, what's the problem? The Gemara says, no, maybe I'm not yet to the menorah. Why am I not yet to the menorah? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that there's a shaila whether by halakas there's chanuk, halakha osa mitzvah, or hanocha osa mitzvah. That if what's the deal if a person lights the menorah in a place where he wouldn't technically be yotzei in that place, but then he picks it up and he moves it to the right place. Let's say, Zman Chazal, when you had to light the menorah dafka outdoors, it ought to be for the Bnei Shasarabim. So if a guy lights the menorah indoors, and there's nobody around indoors, no one's outside, so then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what's the deal if a guy lights the menorah indoors, and then he picks the menorah up and he puts it outside? Is he yotzei or is he not yotzei? So the Gemara says, it depends. Do you say Hadlocha Osa Mitzvah? Do you say Hanocha Osa Mitzvah? What's the moment of truth? What's the important time of Hadlocha Sner Chanukah? Is it at the time that the person is Madlik? Or is it the time that the person is Meniach? When he puts it into place, Nafkamina. Nafkamina is. He does Hadlocha in one place, Hadlocha in another place. What if you say that? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says that it could be that if the person starts pashkin around, moving around in the Chanukah, so he's not Yaitin of Adamah. No matter, even if you hold Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah, if he lights in the wrong place and he picks it up and puts it down outside, he's still not Yaitin. Why? Because a raw omel of tzachu, the nochin. If a person sees him doing this, you see a guy walking around with a menorah, so everybody thinks that he needs the light. So a person won't realize that he's lighting it for the purposes of the mitzvah, for Chris and Nisa. So even though, technically speaking, Hanukkah is a mitzvah, even though in theory, the fact that you're living in the wrong place shouldn't really pose a problem, but just the perception poses the problem. The reality itself is not a problem. Maybe Hanukkah is a mitzvah, but perception-wise it's a problem, because people look at you and they think that you're, people think that you're holding onto the candles for yourself. And what's so terrible? So people think, so it's Mar Zayin. So as Gefella, let's say a guy sees me sitting in the Sukkah, and he doesn't realize that the Schach here. It looks to him like I'm sitting in my house. A lot of people have Sukkahs inside the houses, they take up the ceiling, so you can walk into somebody's living room, and they think, oh, the guy's not sitting in the Sukkah, it's terrible. Oh, because I didn't look, I didn't see it in the Schach, but there's a Schach there. So would you say the guy's not Yosef? Because a raw omer bebeis el yoshev. Chalitza, what kind of din is that? Only the Rosh Hashem has to know they're doing the mitzvah. There's an idea of Mar Zayin, you shouldn't mislead people, shouldn't make people think you're not doing things properly, but that's a tangential issue. So why when it comes to Yosef Chanuk, is the raw omer itself who disqualifies the mitzvah? So the answer is partial. Because part of the mitzvah of Chanuk is Pirsum Benisa. It's not just the Maisa Locha, it's a Maisa Locha to accomplish a Pirsum. So if I'm hereby quote unquote being mafias in the nation, and nobody realizes I'm being mafias in, because nobody realizes I'm lighting in the chanukah. People think I'm lighting for my own purposes and walking around with a lantern in the house, so that undermines the entire mitzvah. So when it comes to the chanukah, their perception of other people, and specifically the reason why I'm lighting is such a critical part of the mitzvah, they can potentially disqualify the mitzvah. Maybe that's the reason why we recite a Neiros Halalu, and that's exactly what the text is. It's one thing we say, Neiros Halalu, Shavu Nigal Nisim, El Flow, Shal Shul, it's beautiful, we speak about it, and then all of a sudden we hear, there's like a second paragraph, that Neiros Halalu, Kodeshem, Eilon, Rishus, Nishtamash, Behem. Why do we have to announce that? Well, we give you a Shemuch Chanukah all of a sudden. We don't do that usually. We do mitzvah. Why do we have to draw attention to the fact? By the way, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch about you're not allowed to be Nana for Neiros Chanukah. So the answer is no. The Neiros Halalu is the response to those individuals who are Omer L'tzorach Lubi Nochid. A person sees them lighting candles. He thinks that's dark in the house, so he thinks I'm going to read by the candles. So I have to announce and tell him, no, that's not true. And there is a law of kosher, a little bit of stomach. Don't think of the tzachu denochit. Don't think I'm holding on to the candles and lighting the candles for myself. So a neiros halalu is in a certain sense the key of neiros chanukah. If you don't say neiros halalu, I wouldn't go so far as to say you're not yoyt to the mitzvah. But a neiros halalu is not external to the mitzvah. A neiros halalu is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. So that's the case, that a neiros halalu is a part of the mitzvah. And it makes a lot of sense. That's not a hefsek. So we have no problem. The person says an Eres Halalu in between the first and second candle. So what? Of course, what I'm saying, maybe you can take it to before you light the first candle also. Okay, I'm not changing, creating new minhag. But we're not too concerned with those who have the custom of saying an Eres Halalu in the middle. Either because the bracha is going on all the candles, or because the etzem saying of an Eres Halalu is considered to be part of the mitzvah itself. It's like Moshe Madavidoma. That we find a strange practice that we have in Pesach night. Right before we eat korech, so many people have a custom of saying Zech LeMikdash Kehillah. So that's a problematic statement in the place where it isn't the Haggadah. Why? Because the Rishonim have a discussion, how come when we eat korech on Pesach night, the Chomu Mesakin Kirk, versus the Farish, there's a Zech LeMikdash, the Chazal Mesakin, the Zech LeMikdash Kehillah. We have to do this, this man should aim this Mikdash Kehillah, we have to eat the Masa Mar B'yachad as a Zech LeMikdash. So the Rishonim asked the question, how come you don't recite a bracha? So some of the Rishonim say, a bracha? We never make a bracha when it's Zech LeMikdash. So the Rishonim have a lot of problem with that answer, because if that's true, so how come we recite a bracha when we shake lulav after the first day is also Zech LeMikdash? How come we recite a bracha before counting Svirsa Omer, according to most Rishonim, many Rishonim, Svirsa Omer Bizman is there, is also only Zech LeMikdash. So it's hard just to say a sweeping statement, nope, there's no bracha, it's a Zech LeMikdash. So some Rishonim might have to say it. Other Rishonim say, no, the reason why we don't make a bracha in Korech is because we just made a bracha. We made a bracha al achilas matzah 5 minutes ago. We made a bracha al achilas mar 2 minutes ago. And so what bracha do you want us to make? Al achilas matzah mar biyachad. We just said, so the matzah part is going on the matzah. The mar part is going on the mar. So we yay to the bracha. That's what many of you should say. That's the answer that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha. Because the Shulchan Aruch writes, based on that answer, that we just recited the matzah and the mar already, therefore the Shulchan Aruch says it's inappropriate for a person to be speaking at that point. From the moment that you make the alachilas matzah until you finish korech, you're not supposed to speak. Because if the bracha is supposed to be chal on the korech, then it happens to be mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. If you hold that it's zech lemikdash and you don't need a bracha, it never was a bracha, so you finish your mafsik, you can talk. Finish your mar, you can talk. But if you hold that there really should have been a bracha on korech, zech lemikdash, the only reason why we don't recite the bracha is because we already said the bracha, then you have to keep that bracha alive, you have to keep that bracha intact, you're not permitted to speak. It's like Marshall Madhavidama, when we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, we make a bracha at the beginning, and then we don't talk to the very, very end, because all the tekiyas are all included in that bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim not to talk until after Korach is over. So then in the next line, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kodim Shi Eyochos Hakorech, you should say Zech LeMikdash Kehillah. The Shulchan Aruch, half a line ago, just said you're not supposed to talk, and then the Shulchan Aruch says, but by the way, this is what you're supposed to say before you make Karech. So the Mishnah Berurah is so bothered with the Shulchan Aruch that he says it would appear to him that there's a mistake in the Shulchan Aruch. That instead of saying Kodim, it's supposed to say Achar. It's a mistake. I mean, in the Haggadah, it's all printed to say Zech LeMikdash Kehillah before him. It's all based on a mistaken text of the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Who is the Mishnah? He says the more correct thing to do is after Kishi Yachlos HaKarech, not Kodim Shi Yachlos HaKarech, but Kishi Yachlos HaKarech, after you finish eating the Karech, then you should say Zech LeMikdash. That's what some people do follow this Mishnah Berurah. How do you defend the minhag? Most Haggadahs have it printed in before Karech. That's what most people do. So how do you defend that? So the answer is no, it's not a kasha. Because Zech LeMikdash Kehillah, not only is it not a hefsek, because it's the inyan, but it's a kiyum. It's what gives the kick to the Karech, right? Karech is not really a mitzvah. I ate lots of it. I ate more already. So what do you want from me? The mitzvah of Karech is a Zech LeMikdash. The purpose of Karech is to get you to remember the Beit HaMikdash. If you talk about it, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be stop eating Karech. We're supposed to be eating Karech to remind us about the Beit HaMikdash. So the greatest thing to do, the key of Karech, is to say Zech LeMikdash Kehillah. So Zech LeMikdash Kehillah to Karech is like Hederes Halol with Hederes Chanukah. That certain mitzvahs where the intention is so critical, the perception is so critical, so we have to incorporate a statement. We know what a person says with one's mouth, that makes a greater ratio. A person can think things from statements tomorrow, but if you express it verbally, so that makes a bigger ratio, that makes an impression on you and others around you. So the Zech LeMikdash is not as it not have say, forget it's a kiyum. That's the right time to say it. So again, that would be a defense of the Minhag HaOlam. So those people are guests. Those who say Neres Halol before they light the second candle, they should be saying the Zech LeMikdash before. And those who are very mocked when I have second brachas, we don't want to get involved. The nice tickle Torah is, but helping a brachas is more important. So we're not going to risk saying the Zech LeMikdash afterwards. We're not going to risk still saying the Neres Halol afterwards. Okay, Yeshlam and Mila Slav also, Eilu Veilu Divra Likin Tayyat. But getting back to that story, we're back to our original question still. We still want to know, is the bracha going only on the first candle, or is the bracha going on all the subsequent candles? So maybe it's enough kabbina for when you say Neres Halol, maybe you know. But it's for sure enough kabbina Rabbi Kivega's shilas. So again, back to the original shilas of Rabbi Kivega. So a person went ahead on the first night, the fourth night of Chanukah, he lit the first candle by mistake, didn't make the bracha. Can he make the bracha at that point or not? So the question really is the bracha going on only the first candle? Is the bracha going on all the candles? So what's the lumdus? The lumdus is, what's the nature of Hidden Mitzvah? Is Hidden Mitzvah a separate, distinct kiyum? It's tangential to the Yetzer Mitzvah. Therefore, it would be hard to justify reciting a bracha on Hidden Mitzvah. But you say no, that the Hidden Mitzvah is part and parcel of the Mitzvah itself. And therefore, the person who hasn't yet done the Hidden Mitzvah, in a certain sense, hasn't completed, hasn't finished off the Mitzvah proper. So this goes back to what we began to speak a little bit about yesterday. What's the nature of the relationship between Hidden Mitzvah and the Ikar Mitzvah itself? So that's what's the answer to the question. It took us 40 minutes to present Shaila, so we're supposed to give a little bit, I can't know, equal time to the answer, a little bit of time to the answer. So we have to save the answer for Friday. So maybe Friday will be the final of the three Shirim about a Yom of Hidden Mitzvah. So that's what we'll try to come to some resolution as to whether the relationship between the Ikar Mitzvah and the Hidden Mitzvah. So finally, a little bit earlier.